Placeme Nation. My name is Ben Locke, and we will have your regularly scheduled episode of Wrestling's Chicken Salad coming up. So you'll get all of your usual silliness and Sean Kidd Mickey taking to come. I just wanted to take a few minutes at the beginning of the show to mention our good friend, Calvin Crowell. Calvin was a true once-in-a-lifetime character who lived his life on his own terms and in his own way. And let's be honest, don't we all want to do that at some stage? He had a story for almost every occasion. Sometimes you believed them, sometimes you didn't. But his infectiousness and his effervescence carried him through, and we all loved him dearly for it. A great philosopher once said, "Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened at all." And that's how I feel about a guy who lives 4,000 miles away from me and a guy who I never met in the flesh. He was a hell of a guy. Tonight's episode is dedicated to the memory of Calvin. Godspeed, my friend.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Nation, welcome to episode 14 of Chicken Salad. My name is Ben Locke, and I'm here yet again with my two excellent co-hosts. First of all, a man so young, his favourite bash at the beach is when he gets to knock over some sandcastles with his friends. He has many nicknames. He's known as the Mississippi Mud Pie. He's known nowadays as the Baby Daddy. I've just called him off air a cheeky twat. It is Mr. Logan Crosland. Good evening, Logan.
Yeah, I was about to say the podcast is now as old as I am, so I'm glad to have a fellow 14-year-old with me. So I'm really looking forward to the show tonight, Ben.
Well, you know, I aim to please, Logan. I aim to please. Our other co-host is a man so old, the only bash at the beach he'll be doing is when he has some alone time behind a windbreaker. It's the king of the shit take himself, Sean Kidd.
Good evening, Ben. You keep topping yourself. And I was going to say if on these little intros, but I was going to say if Logan is a cheeky twat, I might be an old twat.
You're an old fart.
Okay, I'll be the old fart and you can be the cheeky twat. We're all set.
Ben, the cheeky twat and the old fart. It's like some really bad morning radio show.
Stay tuned for Logan and I, our spinoff podcast.
Old fart and the cheeky twat.
The old fart and the cheeky twat. Coming soon to PTBN Wrestling.
They fight. All right, gentlemen, this month it was my choice of show. And having confidently predicted on our last podcast that a show from 1999 would be the worst that we would watch, our good friend Matt Souza said, "What about WCW in 2000? And I was thinking about it. I was like, we haven't watched a show from WCW in 2000. So to rectify this tonight, we are going to be talking about Bash at the Beach 2000. This show also has the very pleasant side effect of making Sean watch two Booker T matches, as well as technically two Jeff Jarrett matches. Sean, there's really something here for everybody.
Yeah, well, not only that, but we'll get to it in a minute, but the two people that pretty much start off the pay-per-view that I can't escape either with Disco Inferno and Conan, but we'll talk about that in a minute. You come in hot on this pot. I mean, this show, I was telling Ben and Logan before we started recording, gives me very high anxiety for many, many reasons.
Let's do our favorite part of the show, which is where we talk about our live memories of 2000. Logan, will you be 7 or 8 at this point?
I think I was 5 at this point, about to turn 6. So.
Do you know what I mean, Sean?
I was 6, about to turn 7. Sorry.
Oh, I was close enough. I'll take that. I'm guessing you didn't watch this live. Have you? How many times have you watched this show before, like watching it for us tonight?
No, I did not watch it live, but I believe I've watched it once before. I kind of did it when the network came out. I kind of did a sweep through all the pay-per-views and watched all those. So I've seen it probably once.
Now, Sean, I know you were a big pay-per-view guy back in the 90s and the early noughties, but I don't know how WCW in 2000. Had you fallen off the train at that point?
Not yet. So full disclosure, I had lost interest in WCW until when they started doing a reboot with Bischoff and Vince Russo. I came back to kind of see what it was going to be. And I actually liked the Millionaires Club storyline they did, but they flubbed it like really, really quickly with the Vince Russo booking. And then obviously something we'll talk about tonight was the Goldberg heel turn. So it quickly faded. And I think it was very soon after this pay-per-view that I went away for a little while on WCW.
Yeah. Full disclosure for me, this was around, well, obviously it was out of business in about 6 months time, but it was moving around networks and quite a lot around in Britain. So it was on a regular channel for like till about the end of 99, and then like 2000, it was like just catch it where you can sort of thing. So I remember watching the Millionaires, like the Bischoff and Russo debut, but after that, everything's a bit sketchy.
Yeah, it went a little south. Real after Great American Bash, it really started going south after that.
And the WWF was on such a high at that point that that weekly TV on WWF 2000 is just amazing. We are live though tonight, gentlemen, from Daytona Beach in Florida. Logan, have you ever been to Daytona? I always like to ask this.
I have driven through there, but I've never just like been there and visited there or anything like that. But I've driven through it a bunch of times.
Sean, have you visited Daytona?
Just like Logan, I've driven through there probably over 80 times, but I've never stopped there.
Okay. I'm a foreigner. I like to know about these places. You know, I'm like Miami's probably as much as to Florida. Miami and Orlando as much as I'm going to get to Florida. So, you know.
Hey, Ben, here's an interesting twist. So the Nitro that was before this was in Charleston, West Virginia, which was 20 minutes from where I lived for 5 years. So just FYI.
I'm guessing from that you weren't living there now at this point. So
no, I didn't move there until 2010.
Okay. So with all the travel information sorted, shall we begin with our show? Let's go to Daytona Beach in Florida for Bash at the Beach 2000. We open the show with our commissioner, who is the Cat, Ernest Miller. He arrives and tells his limo driver, Smooth. Am I right in thinking, Sean, that Ice Train?
Yes. Yes, it is.
I thought I recognized him. He tells Smooth to go tell the Filthy Animals and the Misfits in Action they are banned from ringside for the Cruiserweight title match. And the Young Dragons try to attack him, but they get low-blowed. Now, Logan, I know neither of us were particularly watching at this point, but this is a running theme throughout the night, isn't it? The Young Dragons trying to attack the Cat, and it made absolutely no sense. It didn't even bother trying to explain it.
Yeah, I felt like this was seen straight out of High Noon at Mega Mountain with Hulk Hogan in it, so that's totally what I got from this. But yeah, just completely pointless, but somewhat funny, but it kind of dragged as the night went on.
And also watching with 2021 eyes, Sean, I really enjoyed the racially sensitive Japanese music that was played at all times.
It's funny you brought that up. That's in my notes. I put Chinese music plays throughout the whole entire night. That's in my notes overall. But yeah, it made no sense. And yes, WCW being insensitive and trying to be funny. And right at the start, you see Vince Russo's handprints all over, and we're not even a minute into the pay-per-view. So.
And speaking of Vince Russo's fingerprints, we go to our commentary team. We have the great Tony Schiavone. We have the all right Scott Hudson. And we have Mark fucking Madden. That's all he's going to get. Mark fucking Madden. He makes Michael Cole and Pat McAfee sound good. Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah, I want to punch him in the face throughout the whole entire night. I hate him.
I'm not the only one. No. Sean, I will stick with you because our opener is Hoover 2 Guerrera and Lieutenant Loco. I will read my first note, and I think Sean's already made a little reference to it, but I'll read my first note. Oh, goody. More Disco Inferno and Conan. Sean, the floor is yours.
All right. So you want me to go into the whole match too and just go from there?
We'll go from there.
All right. So sorry if I get a long-winded here. So first thing I noticed was the kaleidoscope Titantron bullshit where I was getting like schizophrenia a little bit, where it's like, it's just the colors and everything was driving me nuts. Filthy Animals come out with god-awful music. And then I wrote, my God, I can't fucking escape Disco or Conan. That was my exact note. Conan is clearly injured like he always is. And then they get on the mic together, and this is my worst fucking nightmare. Christ, Jesus Christ, my God. That's it. And they start rapping together. And this is so bad. Anyway, MIA comes out. They're even worse. Major Gunn comes out. This is where I notated Major Gunn is definitely in the smell club because she is. So getting into the match, we'll go into it. Ray comes out. This is like not no mask Ray. It's Lieutenant Loco versus Hoovy Guerrero. And Hoovy, you know what? They had a good thing going here with Hoovy. I thought he looked good. He was kind of embracing a little bit of that quasi rock personality, but he was hip. People loved him. Ray in his Triple H DX beret carrying, I think Tigress was. I can't remember. Was he carrying her? Was he riding on her back? Which one was it? I can't remember.
No, Tigress was riding on her back. On his back.
So Tigress also in the Smell Club. So we have two Smell Club additions. Let's see. Chavo kills Hoovy with some clotheslines. There was a good power slam. The Hoove and the juicisms from commentary is so stupid. Like Madden keeps having to say juicisms. So he calls Hoovy. A Hoovy weight, a juicy weight, I think he's what he calls Hoovy. He's so annoying. There's a nice Chavo top rope dive outside. The Animals run out in mask, looking like the presidents from Point Break, which is stupid that Madden tries to play off. Oh, I don't know who these people are. And just so stupid. Ref sends them back. Hoovy hit a nice little slingshot leg drop over the top rope, which I thought was really cool. Then General Erection comes out and all this bullshit happens. Listen, the match was really good overall. I don't want to get into too much detail, but all the Russo bullshit with everyone coming out, it was unnecessary. They didn't need to have all these people out, and you could have kept Hoovy in his like gimmick, you know, because he was good, and just kept Chavo. He didn't need to be Lieutenant Loco wearing his little military G.I. Joe pants, and all this interference and all the bullshit literally takes like a half star off for me. So I went 2.5 on this.
I think you'll find, Sean, it's for the Juicerweight Championship.
Yeah, I can't remember what he said. It was in between watching Madden slab. I mean, he just slobbers on himself the whole night. He's just retired.
So, like Sean says, Logan, take all the Russo gaga and bullshit out. And this is a pretty decent match, pretty decent opener.
Mm-hmm. I described Mark Madden as a love child between Todd Weber and Bruce Pritchard. I thought that was a pretty good.
That's pretty insulting to Todd. That's really.
I mean that with all due respect, Todd.
I hope so. Todd's a good dude. That's pretty rough.
But literally, my first note, and Sean said it himself: Disco plus Conan equals Sean's worst nightmare. So that was.
We've all got the same thing.
I said Chavo's doing his best Spike Dudley impression with his outfit. Hoovy's wearing some awful painter pants. Look like he just came from painting the side of a house. Seconds into the match, I already say I hate Mark Madden. He says something stupid like 10 seconds into the match and continues to say stupid shit.
Juicerweight? That was stupid. Yeah, that was the first thing just, I remember.
A bunch of other stuff. I mean, yeah. He just said, I didn't write down an exact quote, but I just said, I already hate Mark Madden. Chavo has some big, nasty chops later that make a pretty good pop. There was a pretty quick start to the match, but Hoovy kind of stalls to slow things down, which made me kind of mad because it had a really hot start, so I liked that a lot. Chavo does a pretty brutal suplex to the outside at one point. I still really hate Chavo Guerrero, but he is much better back at this point. He's a lot faster, and I feel like he's a lot more snug and like just a lot quicker than he ends up being when he's at WWE, which I very much hate him for his entire WWE run. But Chavo does a pretty good scoop suplex slam at one point. And then he does a pretty good outside dive at another point. I made the note that the Filthy Animals sneak out and just absolutely awful masks that don't hide at all who they are. Hoovy does that pretty good slingshot leg drop to the outside. He does a cool sit out power bomb at one point. I think he only gets two on that. So, and then Hoovy hits the people's elbow at one point. I thought that was pretty interesting. And then, like Sean said, the Misfits in action reemerge and their president's mask and all that. And then Hoovy hits like a sit out curtain call at one point, and yes. It gets super close too. I thought that was a cool move. And then the Hoovy driver gets hit, and that gets a close two as well. And then Chavo kind of finishes it off with a pretty brutal tornado DDT. But I gave it 2.25 because I thought it was a good opener.
Yeah, I also went 2.25. And like I say, some of the near falls at the end were really good. Sean, you say there's we've already got two members in the Smoke Club. Surely we can give Madden a Gold Star membership straight up to first class.
So I apologize when I said two members. I was speaking only to the females. But okay. Madden is 100% in this, especially for the spot later where he licks his fingers live on air. And it's the most disgusting.
Don't worry.
Oh, it's the most fucking foul thing I've ever watched on a wrestling show in my life.
Yeah. Keep it there. Keep that thought. Yeah. We're getting there. I won't go to our next contest because we go backstage where the cat is there with Jeff Jarrett. Hulk Hogan, gentlemen, is not in the building yet. What are we going to do? Hogan's not there. We're going to have to come up with something. And after Jarrett leaves, we get some more wonderful racially sensitive material with the Young Dragons. Sean, there was also, Logan, there was also the fat lady. You know, this was some beautifully sensitive Russo writing at work here.
No, it's go to Logan. I'm so angry. Go to Logan.
I was gonna say, the cat brings out a good Chris Tucker impression because he says, "Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?" At one point, so I thought that was pretty ridiculous.
And her name is Screaming Mimi, just Screaming Mimi. And you know what? The other note I made is 2000 Double J looks like 2005 Double J, and he still sucks my ass.
Yeah, Jared had this Viking lady with him, so just no wondering where Hogan is. So. Yeah, that was a ridiculous backstage segment.
We are off to a hot start on this show, guys.
We're really good. And we're going to carry on that hot start, gentlemen, because we have got a hardcore title match between Vito and a mystery opponent. It was meant to be Terry Funk, but he's not there. The mystery opponent, it turns out, is Norman Smiley and Ralphus. And Ralphus without Jericho, it's just not the same. It really isn't. Logan, this was a thing that happened. That's one of my notes. This was a thing that happened.
Is Ralphus the most grotesque human being in the history of time? He is
Mark, I don't know who's worse.
On a show with Mark Madden, he might not even be the most hideous person on the show.
Both of them remind me of like when I see Jabba the Hutt, Return of the Jedi, and how gross out I get. Both of them, it's just awful.
At least Mark Madden has all of his teeth, I guess. I don't know. He's just awful to look at. But Vito just absolutely brutalizes both guys with weapons and throws them all into the guardrail. Smiley and Ralphus actually get Vito to the back at some point, and they get some trash cans and Smiley actually bashes a piece of wood across his head. I thought that was pretty funny. And then at one point, Vito kind of takes out an innocent bystander that's in an elevator and kind of leaves Smiley laying in it. And then Vito uses a baseball bat and puts the trash can lid onto Ralphus's nuts, and he smashes it into it. So I thought that was pretty funny. I said that equals a bad time every time. So, but Vito finishes him off with a splash through the table. But yeah, this was rough, pretty bad. I gave it a quarter star just for some of the weapon shots. Thought they were pretty good, but yeah, just all around pretty awful.
I will say this, Sean. Logan made reference to it. I did quite like that lift spot. I'm gonna give it one positive.
I got a few things that were I was entertained by. It doesn't make it a good match. So, first off, I was upset that we didn't get Funk, because Vito versus Funk probably could have been pretty good, right? Yes. The other note I made is I need a Norman jersey, and the Ralphus half shirt is fantastic, where he has the half shirt and his belly hangs out the bottom of it. Norman, I've always liked Norman. I popped every time he did that little wiggle. And again, it's not because of the match. He's just very entertaining. I made a note that Ralphus is very sad. I said, poor guy. Vito was not nice to him, by the way. And he just beat the shit out of him. And he looked like he was near death a couple times, which was very uncomfortable. The table spot that Ralphus took was pretty disgusting. I was very entertained by the Ralphus bumps, but honestly, guys, it was very hard to watch because I felt bad for him. I did go one star because I was totally entertained by Vito just beating the shit out of this poor old man.
I'll kind of split the difference. I went half a star just for the lift spot, and I like to splash through the table. That'll do.
But Ralph is if you read the history, he wasn't trained on any of this shit. Like, they just went in there and beat the hell out of him. It's crazy.
He was just, I'm right in thinking he was just a backstage guy, just, you know, ring crew, and Jericho just liked the look of him.
Yep.
That's how the story goes, doesn't it? We head backstage to Mean Gene, who's with Kevin Nash, who knows that he can beat Bill Goldberg and promises he will do it again so he can get his best friend back. And, you know, that's kind of a lovely sentiment.
We're going to talk about Hill Goldberg later with the contract and his tights down his pants, but the Nash promo, they bleeped him 100 times. And then the other note I made is Serious Nash is bad Nash. I don't like Serious Nash.
We've seen enough Serious Nash with the TNA watch. We quite like fun and entertaining Nash. We don't need just doing it for the money Nash.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's how we feel about that show. But when we probably watched this in 2000, we thought the opposite. We probably liked him like this. It's weird. It's strange. Yeah.
I love how he called him Billy Boy. Hey, Billy Boy.
That's a great Nash impression. Hey,
Billy Boy. I'm going to jackknife you later, and then I'm going to take a whole bag full of money home. Then I'm going to go fuck some bitches with Scott Hall.
We have found a new impression for Logan.
Logan. I hate that. That's awesome. I almost took a bump.
Logan has this whole cast of characters.
Took a bump.
So good. Hey, Jeff, don't you have to drive around a race car track for a little while, take a bunch of left turns?
Now I'm going to say this. So we're in February in our TNA watch on Highway to the Impact Zone. He's been around for like 3 months on that show, Logan. So however many episodes that is, and you're only just pulling that impression out now.
That's pretty sad, isn't it, Betty? We've had Nash on for, you were just now pulling that out.
I'm back.
You're going to have to do that every time now, I'm afraid. but have you noticed, gentlemen, we are literally talking about anything else rather than our next match. It is a wedding gown match between Miss Hancock, otherwise known to you and me as Stacey Keibler, and she's taking on Daphne. Now, gentlemen, where do I start with this? Where, honestly, do I start with this? I will go to Sean first. On a serious note, you know, because both men, you know, I don't know if you can even call this a match, but both
David Flair and Crowbar are heavily involved in this, why not just make this a mixed tag match? You can still have the girls in. You can still have the girls in the wedding dresses.
Yeah, there was something weird though. I think like towards the end of the match, like I don't know how involved Crowbar was in this whole angle because it looked like Daphne was a little pissed off at him at the end, so I wasn't really sure. But I think this is mainly just to get. Well, I can't even call her Stacy. It's Miss Hancock, right? I'm so used to calling her Stacy. But
yeah.
So a couple of the matches. So a couple of notes that I wrote. I said Stacy's wedding outfit is a wedding night fantasy waiting to happen for Sean. I also loved Gothic Daphne's wedding outfit. I'm really into the goth look, and I think that was pretty hot. I like that. The moves Stacy takes looked very, very rehearsed. David, when he's in the ring, looks so entirely lost, like he doesn't know what to do. This is so, so bad. At one point, we get everyone in their underwear, and I made a note that if David Flair shit in his tidy whities, it would be more entertaining than this match. That's what I wrote in my notes. Daphne throws wedding cake in her face. That Crowbar and David outside are fighting as Stacy throws at Daphne. I put, what the fuck is this? Stacy just starts dancing to distract everybody. I put, fucking Russo, awful shit. Dud times a dud. Even if there's a bigger dud, this is the biggest piece of shit I think I've ever watched.
Just say what you think and hope your wife never listens to this podcast.
This is one of the worst. Well, my wife doesn't care about Stacy. She's fine.
Okay. That's good. Logan, are we even calling this a match? Is that fair?
Not really. This is my notes verbatim. David Flair, one lucky bastard, but then a ball shot. Catfighting, snapmares, and slaps. Oh my. Double pantsing. Hancock falls face first into David's crotch. Starts to shave Daphne, and Crowbar makes the shave. Hancock then decides to strip herself, and then cake gets involved. What a mess, literally and figuratively.
Now you just said that about Dave Flair. You have just reminded me of something. So in kayfabe terms, David Flair has got with Tori Wilson and Stacy Keebler. Just think about that for a second, gentlemen.
Oh my god.
Just think about that.
Like
for a second.
I said, one lucky bastard.
You know what? Now, I'm gonna say that he was just riding the coattails of his father's name. That's the only reason why.
Oh, just like his sister. Oh no, that's another podcast.
Hey.
You mean like his other brother?
Oh yeah, sorry. Now, if you remember when we did the Royal Rumble 2006, I got slated because I rated the women's match on that show -1 star, and you two were not happy with me for that.
I know I wasn't, because I didn't hate the match that much.
I had to use that as my base mark. So this match is far, far worse than that. So I went -3 for this.
Jesus.
Why just 3?
Because, well, it's not the worst. Two reasons. One, it's not the worst thing I've ever seen. And two, spoiler alert, we've got something worse coming.
Yeah, so, sadly, it's not the worst thing on this show by a country mile. It should be.
Yes. All right. So we then head backstage where the cat is walking through the back. And yet once again, we get the wonderful sensitive Japanese music as the young dragons are stalking him. We then go back to Tony, Scott and Mike. And this is what Sean was referencing earlier on, because Mike is doing some very suggestive faces and using his fingers, which is an image none of us really do need. They are filling for time because the cake needs clearing up. It's at this point that the continued mention of sports entertainment becomes quite jarring. Call it wrestling. Fucking Russo, it's wrestling. You're not going to get burned at the stake for calling it wrestling. I'll go to Logan. Logan, Sean said what he thinks about the cake incident. It was quite off-putting.
Yeah, he's just a slovenly, awful human being and needs to be fired immediately from this company. But yeah, it's terrible. It's awful.
I would also like to add that they literally spent an hour, it felt like, talking about Hulk Hogan bullshit, not being here, blah, 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 why these guys, I mean, it felt like forever that they were talking, and I was going out, like, this is where I really started to have, like, anxiety, because we're three matches in, and I don't even know if we're an hour into this show yet, and this is how long they spent on Hogan, Madden licking his fingers, like, I'm having issues at this point, like, I really, really hate this show up to this point, hate it.
It's sports entertainment, bro.
Oh, there you go. Oh, Logan, yes. I will say, and we'll get into it further as we go on, but it's the main problem I have with Russo's booking philosophy. It's all catered towards the internet fan, and we know that's quite, you know, a reasonably sizable proportion nowadays, but back in 2000, you're talking like less than 5% of your audience. And, you know, they weren't living on fucking Twitter and looking at the dirt sheets back then. So don't appeal to those people. They're not the ones who are paying your bills. It's simple. We then go, after the cake has all been cleaned up, we go to our tag title match, which is between the perfect event of Sean Stasiak and Chuck Palumbo. For those keeping a score along at home, that's another two WWF wrestlers that are being mimicked on this show. It's a good running count, really. I'm going to throw this open to Sean. I'm an unashamed fan of Chronic, so yeah, I'm heavily biased, but I really enjoyed this.
I am not biased towards Chronic. I enjoyed him in WCW for the most part, but so first off, we could talk about the Great Value Mr. Perfect music. That was very blatant Great Value Mr. Perfect music.
It was bullshit, too.
It was. Chronic, to your point, looked really good in this. The press slam they did on Stasiak to Palumbo outside, I loved. The other note I made is, why is Buzz from Home Alone refereeing this match? Because it looks like him who was refereeing this match. There was a terrible botch on a rope pull down from one of the Chronic and Palumbo. Palumbo hit a nice top rope shoulder tackle. They had a lot of long heat on Adams by the perfect event, I thought was good. Palumbo did a DDT that looked really, really bad. There was an apron clothesline from Clark outside that looked really good. I did laugh at the Lex Flexor. I had forgotten about that whole gimmick when he attacked Luger with it. And I know, Ben, we went back and forth. I love the finish. It was like a clothesline top rope powerbomb.
Yes.
That I don't remember the era of music again. It was really good. This was a million times better than I even could think it could be. And really, really good tag team match between, you know, a Chronic. You know, they're relatively experienced. Perfect event, not so much. I went 2.5 stars. I really enjoyed this match.
Yeah, two things. You say Buzz from Home Alone. I went Great Value Conan O'Brien.
That's good. That's good.
And two, as for that finishing move, I said in our little chat off air that I genuinely think it's one of the best tag team finishes I've ever seen, and why they never used it again, or, you know, went for High Times when they had that right there. I don't know. Logan, like I said, I really enjoyed this, but I'm going to throw my cards on the table. I'm a huge Chronic fan, so I'm a bit biased, but there were some brilliant power moves on display, and Perfect Event brought it as well.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. Like Sean said, he brought up the Great Value Mr. Perfect music. I hate it. It's awful. Mr. Perfect's theme is one of my favorites, so that was just a bastardization of it completely. But at one point, Shivani calls Palumbo Palumpy, and I thought that was really, really funny. And then Stasiak's outfit's kind of Great Value Billy Gunn. He has like the white boots with the black tights, so he really looked like Billy Gunn to me in this match. Adam shows off his power super early. Chronic pretty much dominates the early part of the match. Like John said, the kind of botched rope pull down kind of turns the tide to the perfect event. The perfect event then kind of does a bunch of submissions and big strikes to kind of wear both big guys down. At one point, two of them run into each other, and there's kind of a sick head thud. I thought that was pretty nasty. But Clark eventually gets in and starts kind of just chucking both perfect event guys around. Clark goes for the meltdown, and it gets reversed, and he gets DDT'd from that. They kind of wear down Clark until Adams illegally comes in, and then they hit two pretty brutal double choke slams. I thought that was a cool finish, but that's not even what finished the match. And then I described it as a powerbomb doomsday device type move. So, but yeah, that was a really cool move, and I went 2.25.
That's how I described it as well. I went 2.5, so I don't want to think everybody think my chronic love in is going to equate to like massive star rating. It isn't. It's just that they're one of my, they're just a personal favorite.
I think Ginny's a big chronic fan too.
Well, that's
well, she should go think, watch this match.
I think that's the other meaning of the chronic.
And, oh, I didn't speaking of that.
This match was, you know, Madden was particularly grating in this match because it was like, yes, Mark, we know it's, we get the reference. You don't need to keep hammering it home. We get it.
chronic.
I mean, I know wrestling can be subtle as a brick sometimes, but you know, you don't need to keep hammering it home like that. We go backstage again to the Cat's dressing room, where Jeff Jarrett comes back in and he wants to know, and he still wants to know where Hulk Hogan is. Guess what, boys? He still hasn't turned up. Who knows what's going to happen in that world title match tonight? We might not even have one. You know, we just don't know. And once again, the Young Dragons attack the Cat, but this time they do actually attack him. So, you know, the 3-on-1 does work on this occasion because, you know, the Cat's such a big, powerful dude that he can beat up three guys quite reasonably like that.
Logan, Ben, can I make another comment on this?
You may.
Double J comes in with Screaming Mimi, and he screams that he's going to screw this show. And I made the note, I don't think WCW needs any help with that.
Yes, the way it is going, yes. But this show, I won't say it'd be saved, but this next match certainly, you know, was a take in the plus column. We get Canyon versus Booker T, and Logan, this isn't just any old Canyon. This is positively Canyon. He is in full DDP mode, blonde wig and all.
Yeah, I was going to say, he looked pretty ridiculous with that wig on. I said he looked like Great Value Christian with the wig on because his pants kind of look like something Christian used to wear, and he had the blonde hair. So, go ahead.
I was going to say, as for the match itself, a pretty damn good match. Why don't you tell the good ladies and gentlemen why Sean is wrong about this subject and why Booker T is actually a good wrestler?
Oh, Booker T is amazing. And the fact that we get two matches out of him tonight is probably one of the only pluses for this show. But Booker T is he's absolutely jacked at this point. He's freaking, if he's not on steroids at this point, it's pretty, he's freaking jacked. So he's huge at this point. And I also noted that he throws a really great drop kick at this point. So, we've had a series of shows lately where we have bricks. So we have another damn brick in another damn show. So we have another damn brick. I always hated that they had to add something to a weapon to make it have more impact. That's so stupid to me. Like, so at one point, Canyon has the steps tilted on Booker and he hits the chair with it. Like, that was actually going to make it any more impactful than if he just like sat on the stairs or whatever. I thought that was so stupid. There was a pretty impressive suplex from the apron at one point. Canyon does a really cool little sit out Alabama slam. I thought that was pretty cool. And then he follows it by the worst reverse crab I think I've ever seen in my life. So, and then Canyon eventually uses the brickless book. So it isn't enough. And then he looks inside and he's like, where's the brick? Where's the brick, guys? and then, of course, Jeff Jarrett ruins a perfectly good match and hits him with a guitar. And then Canyon wins it with the Canyon Cutter. But I went 2.75 on this.
I will say that, you know, Canyon in our last show and in this show is getting a lot of love. And Sean, I know you're not a big Booker fan, but, you know, Canyon carried him to, you know, something that even you'd enjoy, surely.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Canyon. If I look at 2000 WCW Canyon, I liked him. Remember, he took that bump off the triple cage, right? If you remember that, that was awesome. So he was really good here in 2000 WCW. But okay, so Booker T. So here's notes, and I'm just going to prove that I am not a shit take or I don't hate just to hate. So I put crowd loved Booker T. Canyon is awesome. Booker on fire to start. Kicking, just like, he's just kicking Canyon's ass all over the place. There's an awesome top rope clothesline. And you can literally hear the smack of it when it hits Canyon. Like, he's just like big, loud smack. In 2000, I also noted they said he's already a 7-time TV champ and a 9-time tag team champ in 2000, which is insane. I made the same note about the chair to the steps as Logan. I did like the baseball slide drop kick he did to the post. I thought that was pretty cool. The suplex, yes. Logan brought up. Booker did an awesome power slam. Canyon definitely is the innovator of offense because his moveset is so great. Booker does a really good spine buster. Booker gets hit with the book, but obviously he kicks out. And he does a beautiful axe kick. Like he has a really great axe kick and does the bookend. And then, of course, Double J comes in to ruins it. And we get a Canyon cutter off the top rope to Booker. I really enjoyed this match. And I was actually, guys, going to go a full 3.5 on it. But I knocked a quarter star off for fucking Jeff Jarrett.
hashtag Jarrett ruins everything.
He sure does, man. God damn
now,
it.
I'm glad you two brought up the thing with the post, because I was like, I can't remember which one of the commentators said it. They were like, oh yeah, the vibrations that the shot caused, that'll cause more pain. I was like, I don't think it does. How does that work?
Jesus, who knows?
After the match, so I went 3 stars on it. So yes, I'll put it in the Booker T good column. but Booker T's a good wrestler, so that's to be expected.
I think Canyon carried him to a good match.
Well, no, I'd agree. I would agree with that as well. I would agree with that as well.
But Booker T is good as well. It is one of the better Booker matches that I can recall that I've watched. So I will definitely give you guys that. He definitely pulled his weight. He did.
Yes.
Canyon is very underrated, though. We're all right in saying that.
So underrated.
I think our last two shows we've done is a very good representation of him, like the singles and the tag match. I think he has been excellent in both. And he's one of the few shining lights of like 99 and 2000 WCW.
Yep, I agree.
After the match, though, Jeff, we go backstage where Mike Awesome is trying to chat up one of the fat ladies, but his chances with her are ruined by Pamela Pulshock, who is wanting an interview with Mike. If you don't remember Pamela, she was a blonde, rather buxom lady. Club or not, Sean, about Pamela?
I don't know. I thought it was Goldilocks. I thought that was the same person. Since everything else on this show is TNA, I thought she was too.
No, Sean. Pay attention.
My bad. Sorry.
That interview leads us up to our next match, which is for the US title. It is Scott Steiner versus Mike Awesome. I'm going to stick with Sean. My first note, Sean, is I'll do what Logan did. I will read my first note verbatim. Medeja. That is all. I thought this is a really, really good power match, ruined spectacularly by the ending.
Yeah, so I put my first note was Medeja is so hot and Big Papa Pump is awesome. So I love. So here's the thing with me with Awesome, like if you just take like he's starting to do this fat chick thriller gimmick.
Fat chick thriller, yeah.
Yeah. They didn't need this, and I think that takes a little bit of a way for this match for me, because just these two, like if you just had pure Mike Awesome from ECW going against Big Papa Pump, like this is a good Hoss match, and it still is a Hoss match, but that fat chick thriller, they didn't need that. It's more Russo bullshit. But anyway, great start outside. I loved it. The crowd is absolutely nuclear for this match. I mean, there's great stiff clothesline. There's kicks. The top rope belly to belly was awesome. There's an apron elbow to Steiner outside. I thought a bell shot to Steiner was stiff. I liked Awesome working over the back, and he did like a flying top rope choke slam. Then the cat comes out. Then there's an overhead to belly suplex. The cat's out there. He starts getting involved. There's a stupid ref bump. The cat gets a kick to Awesome. And then there's a belly to belly to cat. Again, I hate this Russo bullshit cat stuff. Steiner goes for the recliner, and then Kat says he's going to strip him of the belt. But then he does, but then he also drops Awesome with a T-bone suplex, which was fantastic. I hated the ending. Obviously, this is just a way to get the belt off of Steiner, but these two guys beat the living shit out of each other with a stupid ending. And this is another match that I probably could have easily gone 3.25 stars on, but the ending knocks it out for me because of Russo's booking. I went 3 stars on it, but yeah, good Hoss fight. This was a pleasant surprise for me because I don't remember this match and I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it too. Logan, like Sean says, fantastic power match. And with a better remembered show, that overhead belly to belly would be one of those spots that we'd be seeing again and again.
Yeah, I mean, Scott Steiner absolutely commits murder multiple times in this match. How Mike Awesome's alive after this one, I'll never know. But yeah, like Sean said, the brawl on the outside to start it was really awesome. The belly to belly from the top was brutal. They throw absolute bombs at each other the whole match, just back and forth, just big move after big move. The elbow to the outside was one of the weaker points. He does kind of a weak elbow to the outside. And to explain why the ref's letting a lot of the weapon shots go on, Tony says that that's what the fans want to see. So the ref's not calling for a count out or disqualification. So I guess if they wanted to see somebody murder somebody, that they would just let it go. So
that's where Don West gets it from.
He does a belly to belly at one point. Awesome doesn't quite fully rotate, so he lands right on his head and neck. Apparently they explained throughout the match that the Steiner recliner has been banned, as it should be, because it's the worst submission of all time. The Catnip tries to help Awesome but fails, and then strips Steiner of the title and DQs him. And then, like I said, after the match, Steiner commits murder and absolutely kills both the Cat and Awesome. I went 2.25 on it. I probably would have gone higher if it hadn't had a such stupid ending, but that's about where I think it is.
I went 2.5. I probably would have been around 3 if the ending had been, if there'd been any ending rather than that one. But there was a couple of things. It was like they didn't really explain the whole Cat Steiner conflict at all. Like, you know, you could have just put a video package there for people. And then it was like at the very end when he strips him of the title, it's like, Oh yeah. He stripped Steiner of the title, but has Awesome got the title? We don't know. Russo hasn't bothered telling us that bit. Just like, yeah, Mike Awesome, whatever. He's nothing in this. But you know, like I say, that top rope belly to belly is just unbelievable. If you've not seen, honestly, that the ending will make your main roster angry, but the match itself to that point is really good. I'd say go out there and watch it if it's on the YouTube.
Yeah, I mean, he absolutely murders him with that T-bone after the match, too. I'm not underselling it at all. How he lived past that, I'll never know. I actually have the United States titles title history pulled up right now.
Okay.
If they actually really did strip him. But before he was champion, it went Jeff Jarrett got vacated. Jeff Jarrett got it back, vacated. Scott Steiner vacated. And then Lance Storm won it after the second or the third vacation. So,
wow.
The historic lineage of the U.S. title. hot take. Scott Steiner's crazy. Who'd have thunk it?
Hot take, 2000 Scott Steiner is pretty fucking awesome.
Oh yeah, that too. Yeah. And another hot take, Medeja, yes.
Mm-hmm. Not in okay, the spell Jeff, club, Medeja.
No, not at all. Nope. Okay, gentlemen, that'll do for our first part. Coming up, we have a world title match, or do we? We also have a repeat of a, I'm going to air quote, classic Starrcade main event. We also have a graveyard match because, you know, this show hasn't been enough. There hasn't been enough Russo bullshit in this show. Let's have a graveyard match out there. That's all coming up in part 2 of Chicken Salad, but of Back at the Beach 2000. My name's Ben Lutz. I'm here with Sean Kidd and Lone Grogler, and we will see you on the other side. Place to Be Wrestling Network. Welcome back to part two of episode 14 of Chicken Stars. My name's Ben Lock. I am here, as always, with Sean Kidd and Logan Goslin, and we are stepping back into WCW's Bash at the Beach 2000. I think it's fair to say in the first half we had some good stuff and some bad stuff. I'm afraid to say for us three, but not necessarily for our listeners, that we are going to jump off a cliff in the second part, as you will hear very shortly. So the next match that we're going to be talking about is a graveyard match between Vampiro and the Demon. The Demon is obviously the Kiss Demon, as he was. Dale Torborg is his alter ego. He's like Batman. He's, you know, he's got an alter ego and everything. He's engaged to Asia, and they are there at the graveyard with Little Nate. Logan, I think I'm fair to say that this match, of all the matches we've done for this podcast, this match was the one that nearly broke me. That's how bad it was.
It's really bad, and yeah, the Demon's not Del Torborg. He's secretly Eric Watson Paint. It's totally him. you can't convince me otherwise. There's way too much talking going on during this match, and like the Demon's voice is like way higher pitched than Asia, because he's like, "Hey Asia, stay over there," and she's like, "Okay, I'll stay over here." So it's like, and you can't see anything because there's shadows, and then they fight into the water, and then the match doesn't even actually really end, and he tries to set him on fire, but he even botches that. So I mean, just, it's a dud. It's awful. It's the worst thing, or one of the worst things I've ever seen.
Sean, when the comedy stylings of Charles Robinson are the highlight of the match, that's kind of, you know, you're in trouble.
Yeah, I'm going to be, so I can't do the Asia voice like Logan, but what I put was, I said they're in the graveyard and Demon tells the man named Asia to stay behind.
He's a man named Asia.
Anyway, and then the Vampiro jumping from the tree, I thought was pretty funny. You got to admit that was funny, where he jumped out of the tree. You can't see a damn thing, to your point. And Charles with his little flashlight trying to find, he has a flashlight on him the whole time. This is, and then they go into water, and Tony goes, "There might be alligators in there." And I said, "Unfortunately, they're not, because none of them get eaten." This is so bad. They break the tombstone over the Demon's head, locks him in the coffin, and he dumps him in the grave. And then he just heads out while he's talking like this, some random shit. This was, to Logan's point, one of the worst fucking things we have ever seen on this pod. And I went dud times a million. Really, really bad. Really bad.
I went minus four, when I said earlier on that there was a worse match than the Wedding Gal match, this was very much it. Like I say, I kind of, in a campy way, I enjoyed the whole thing with Vampiro in the tree and then coming out of the water like he was some sort of horror victim. You know, it was like, if it was on Freak Out Driving, I'd appreciate it a bit more, but it's a wrestling show. And like I say, when Charles Robinson's doing his the comedy stylings thereof, and I'm like, that's the best thing about this match.
The acting's really bad. Like Vampiro's like, "Well, where did they go?" And Charles's like, "I think they went that way." He said he's gonna stay behind.
He's like, "He took Asia over there.
I'll stay here."
Oh, on second, I think
on second thought,
"I'll stay here," and then he was like, "No, I'll come with you. Never mind."
It was so bad. So it was one of those things. It was so bad. It was bad.
Don't forget Asia in the trance. Asia, are you okay? And she's just sitting there in like this little trance that Vampira put her in or something. You know, it's so bad.
And Tony losing his shit when Vampiro hits him with the tombstone.
Vampiro is also Dollar Tree Raven, by the way.
I almost feel like you should put this on a hidden gem just because it's so bad you have to watch it to believe it. But
I think we might have to. That's not the worst idea in the world.
It's not. It's really not.
But yeah, like John says, just For all those times that people rag on people like Giant Gonzalez, if you've never seen this, honestly, you're out your way.
I mean, it's got to be the worst. It's got to be the worst match thing we've ever watched in the history of this pod, I would imagine, right?
I'm trying to think.
Lawler Cole's the only thing I can put up next to it.
Oh no, I'll watch that before this again. Well, you know what? No, because this was probably, you know what?
Yeah, this is a lot shorter.
More entertaining. Well, it's shorter, but it's also got some entertainment value for the bad, I guess.
The scaffold match at Bash 91 was pretty bad. But
that was good.
Yeah, but even that's short. Like Lawler Cole is bad, and it's super long.
Sorry, Ben, we jumped ahead. I apologize. Keep going.
It's fine. No, I was gonna agree what Logan said. Yeah, this was bad, but at least it was short. I think this might be hidden gem bad though. I like that. That's a good comparison. Mm-hmm. After the murder of the demon, because he gets put in a coffin, there's no other way of putting it, and thrown into a grave. We then go back to Mean Gene, who's just pretending nothing's happened, talking to Shane Douglas, who promises and guarantees victory tonight against Buff Bagwell because he is the franchise and that's damn good. He's nicking Triple H's catchphrases as well as Ric Flair's. Our next match is the aforementioned Shane Douglas taking on Buff Bagwell. And I will say this for Buff, Logan. You know, he can never back it in the ring, but he always looks the part. It's like he's like a creative wrestler right at the very start. You've made a good job with him, but he's got no movesets or selling skills at all.
Yeah, I was going to say his looks are about as far as they go, and his haircut's pretty awful, so maybe everything but that. But he has a good body and a good body look, at least. But my first note is that face Buff just doesn't make any sense, because after he's not Marcus Alexander Bagwell and he's Buff Bagwell, it just doesn't work for me. And unlike the Steiner Awesome match earlier, this one was a brawl outside, but it was kind of plodding and they kind of moved around really slow. At one point, Madden calls Buff an angry pretty boy redneck, so I felt right at home. This match is very slow, boring, and chin-locky. Torrie Wilson is then out, so we're automatically going to get two more big stars, if you know what I mean. And then it has a pretty awful ending, but I went 3/4 of a star on this one because I didn't really enjoy this at all. But it wasn't overall horribly bad, I guess.
Mm. I will say this, Sean. There's no way in hell Torrie Wilson's making a Smell Club list, because that was one smoke show tonight.
Yeah, Torrie, no, not on the list. And you're very kind to this match, Logan. Very, very kind. Torrie comes out. She smacks Shane, then kisses Buff, and then kicks him in the balls, which it made no sense whatsoever. Okay, I'm going to slap Shane, then I'm going to kick Buff in the balls. The other note I made, hey, by the way, before this match, not only did we get the Shane promo, we also got we could be a Goldberg guest manager at a future pay-per-view. Did you guys catch that?
Yes, I did catch that. Yes. Yeah.
And I immediately wrote, no, thank you. Because I don't want to get you in WCW pay-per-view. And the other note I made is, are we sure we're not watching a TNA pay-per-view because I get a Shane promo in the back?
He didn't get the scrunched up shoulders with it.
He wasn't as scrunchy. Yeah.
Anyway.
The franchise. Right here. I'm here with Mean Gene.
So Buff savagely pushed Torrie off the apron, which was really, I mean, she took a big bump. And then we were talking about this finishing move. I called it like an atomic drop stunner thing. That looked really dumb. And Tony totally ejaculated for it. Like Tony was going, he's like all freaking out. I put dud times 4. 3/4 is too kind. Total dud.
I'm gonna go half star. It was pretty bad, but I'll give it a little bit of credit.
I went half star. Yeah.
I'm gonna bump down to half star for sure.
I'm sure they gave it a name, like the franchiser or something like that. That finisher. I can't remember what it is off the top of my head, but
it was like an atomic drop stunner. It was weird.
basically a reverse, like a reverse stunner. So instead of facing outwards, he faced in. But yeah, it was. Yeah, but Shane. Yeah, but Shane. Tony was losing his shit over it. So it was like, all right, Tony, calm down, mate. It's just. All right. So We then head backstage where we see that Hulk Hogan has arrived in the building. Mean Gene is then with Double J, who says that Plan A is now in effect and hopes Mean Gene has seen the usual suspects. Now, gentlemen, I've seen the usual suspects and nothing that happened next is anything close to what happened in the usual suspects. I don't know if that was just me being a film buff or whatever, but it just seemed like Double J just knows film. So for our next match is the world title match between Jeff Jarrett and Hulk Hogan. And usually you'd think a match like this would go on at the end of the show, but something happens here. Various sources, though, have confirmed that this part of the night went as planned, hence why it's not main eventing. Jeff's dubbed music is absolutely awful. I mean, the Chosen One music wasn't much better, but this is particularly...
Chosen One.
Yeah. I also made the note that some poor kid has been given a Double J phone guitar.
It's a collector's item, Ben.
What fucking parent would buy that? And what?
He had a sign that said something about Slappy too. I thought that was really funny.
I would have bought a Slap Mud shirt. That I would have bought.
Okay, I'll say what happens on my notes, and then I'll go to you guys. Okay, so Jarrett doesn't come down straight away, but then we see Vince Russo, who hasn't been around for a few weeks and has chosen now to make his return. Jarrett comes out straight after. When Hogan comes down to drink, he gets on the mic and tells Double J he is the Chosen One because, quote-unquote, Hogan has chosen him to be powerbombed so he can get revenge for his friend Kevin Nash. Jarrett was then on the ramp, comes back into the ring, gets in, and lays down on the mat. Russo throws the belt in the ring, and Hogan announces that the company is in the shape it's in because of bullshit like this. Hogan pins him with one foot. I haven't rated it because it wasn't a match. Sean, I really don't like when, you know, they try to do these shoot matches promos on TV or pay-per-view, because, like I say, there's not a very sizable percentage of your audience that really knows what's going on.
Yeah, I didn't rate this either. So here's a question for you. Michael Buffer, did he get double pay tonight, or did he just get paid did he only get paid once? That's my first question.
We need to send him a tweet.
Maybe he'll come on the show and we can hang up on him after he answers the question.
That's an abysmal thought. I don't even want to think about that.
All right. He'll charge us $10,000 just to answer the question.
I was still surprised he was around at this point.
Me too. So Hogan, so here's you brought up Hogan cutting a promo about the power bomb. And the note I made after that, I go, yeah, because Hogan does power bombs. You know, I'm going to power bomb you. Okay, Hogan. And then, yeah, you brought out JJ walks out, lays down. Russo keeps yelling at him to pin him. Hogan acts all shocked. Russo throws the belt at Hogan. And Hogan, he goes, this is why this company sucks because of you, Russo. And he's not lying. It does suck. The announcers are like selling the swerve in real life, which is just a big, huge crack of shit. Yeah, it's just bad. Just bad. And it's, anyway, that's all I got to say. It's a famous thing that happened. It's an all time. It kept interest. I'm sure all of us, if Logan was not still in the sack at this time, I am sure he would have tuned into Monday Night Nitro to see what happened the next night. But it got me to tune in the next night, and that's all I remember. And that's what they were trying to do. So, all right. But yeah, shit. But famous promo. Famous. And we got more to come later tonight.
We do have more to come later on tonight. And Logan, like Sean says, obviously you're a wee bit younger than us two. When you saw this after the fact, was there any part of this that you thought was real or shooting? Because looking now with 20 years on, this part did look incredibly fake.
Yeah, I mean, maybe when I first saw it, I was like, you know, I thought Hogan's part was at least real. It might have been a joke to, you know, Russo and Jarrett. But yeah, it seems really staged at this point now that I kind of know more of the story about it. But yeah, I don't have many notes on it. It's more about how they're still using Buffer and how they can still afford him and why they still waste money on this asshole who doesn't even get half of the shit that he says right. When he's introducing Jarrett, it sounds like they like cancel his audio out because you can barely hear him. But yeah, we definitely need to get him on a cameo or something for this show so he can say, "Ladies and gentlemen, Sean Kidd is the greatest shit taker in the world."
That would be worth every penny. Every penny.
$10,000 that'll cost you.
Yeah, it's gonna be probably like $10,000 on cameo.
After Hogan leaves the ring, we get a look at the commentators and they try to explain what was going on, and Madden is already laying the boots into Hogan. It's just the worst. And Hudson's not much better. At least Tony's the voice of decorum and the voice of reason during all this. We then head backstage and we find that Vampiro has got back to the arena from the graveyard. I'm guessing the graveyard was only 5 minutes away from the arena. We also get a look at Hulk Hogan going the other way, which I'm guessing wasn't meant to happen. But yes, there he was, old Hogan with a child holding the belt for him.
So is that Nick?
I think that was a little Nick, yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was Nick too.
It's got to be Nick, right? Yeah.
So I wonder if that had to be like they probably didn't want Hogan in that shot. I can't believe they did that on purpose.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They've got to have done that live. They've got to have done that live because they wouldn't have had Hogan in the shot otherwise.
Yep.
We then go back to the arena where Vampiro shows up and tells us that the demon is dead, just like Sting, which makes the crowd do the "We Want Sting" chant. A group of druids then turn up with a coffin, which they drag down to the ring. Vampiro leaves the ring and goes down to the ringside area, opens up the coffin, and I'm going to do air quotes here, Sting pops out and attacks Vampiro. The lights go out and Vampiro ends up in the coffin because, gentlemen, you know, I have been known to have a bet in the past, but I'm willing to bet a reasonable size of money that was not Sting. They were trying to play it off like it was Sting, but that wasn't your actual man. That wasn't Mr. Borden.
He lost a lot of weight and a lot of muscle mass, if so, because he was pretty frail and skinny, whoever it was.
The Undertaker had joined WCW at this point.
It was Jeff Farmer who played fake Sting. So.
that's what fire damage will do to you, Logan. Mm. You lose a lot of things.
Yeah, gotcha. The power plant guys were here this evening. That's who they were.
Okay, we then go backstage to Mean Gene again, who is now with Bill Goldberg, and says he could just rip up the contract there and then, but he wants to do it in the ring and make Nash suffer first. Ominous words from Big Billy Boy. Back outside to the ring, and Vince Russo comes back out. And this is what caused the controversy, as he just goes off on Hulk Hogan. I haven't wrote it down word for word, gentlemen, but I think you got the gist. He says he left WCW 3 weeks ago and wasn't sure if he was going to come back because of dealing with the quote-unquote bullshit politics that goes on in the back. He's got a wife and 3 kids and doesn't need the hassle. He came back because of guys like Booker T, the MIA, Filthy Animals, and Jeff Jarrett, the guys who give a shit. This is where he goes into Hogan and goes on about the creative control card he plays, which I made the note of, 90% of your fan base don't even know what you're talking about, Vince. And promises as a result, you will never see Hogan again. His belt doesn't mean shit. Russo announces Double G will be getting a new belt, but he will have to defend that title tonight against a man who hasn't been able to get a break for 14 years in Booker T. He finishes off by calling Hogan a big, bald son of a bitch who can kiss his ass. This was the promo that got that Hogan sued Turner and Russo for, and I'm pretty sure he either won the case or at the very least settled out of court. Sean, I know that you kept your eye over some of the language due, so read, ladies and gentlemen, with some of the stats that you have.
So you summed it up really nicely. So there were seven shits, four goddams, and one son of a bitch. Because Russo couldn't get, you know, Russo was, you know, he was a shoot brother. So, you know, cussing makes it realistic. So, yeah, it was like every other word was shit. Hulk Hogan, that piece of shit, will never be in WCW ever again. This goddamn it. I mean, this was just, and I'll let Logan talk about what he thought. Maybe Logan can do it in Russo voice because I'm not good at the impressions. But yeah, this was definitely something. Definitely something.
And it wasn't, and get right, it was a shoot bro.
It was a shoot. Okay. Well, if it was Hogan, it'd be a shoot brother. So you got brother and bro. So
brother and bro gets very confusing after a while. Yes. Logan, what did you think about this whole mess?
I mean, it's super famous, but it's just absolutely ridiculous. And, you know, he talks about Jeff Jarrett and the wrestlers, the great wrestlers of WCW. So, I mean, it's just it's insane and so stupid. But, you know, I think it's very famous and it's well known. And it kind of should be just because it's, you know, it talks about stuff that, you know, not a lot of people know, but it's absolutely ridiculous. And this is kind of Russo's last stand, I kind of feel like.
I'm pretty sure Sean might be able to tell me. Do we have about 2-3 months worth of Russo left? I know we get the whole Russo World Champion next.
Don't we get him? Isn't he here up through Halloween Havoc? Up through right before Halloween Havoc?
That sounds about right. That sounds right. Yeah, so... Yeah, unfortunately, Logan, there's a wee bit more to come. But then we go back to the commentary table again, and I know I mentioned it in the first bit, Russo, in the first Jarrett Hogan match, but imagine at this point with Russo is just about to say, he says the comment, quote unquote, that he wishes that Vince Russo was a woman.
Oh my God. I'd be an ugly ass woman. Frida Kahlo looking motherfucker.
You know, I mean, again, it's just another image you don't really need, gents. So after Russo finishes burying Hulk Hogan, and, you know, before we get to our next match, the rumor and innuendo goes, we were going to get a match at Halloween Havoc between the whoever was WCW champion at the time and Hogan to prove who was the real champion. I think that was the way the story was meant to go. And obviously because of this promo, it never got there because Hogan was basically like, I'm never working for that motherfucker ever again.
Yeah, we never saw him again in WCW after this, right?
This was it.
Yeah, I don't know if
I think Bischoff's officially gone after this pretty much too.
Bischoff is gone after this, correct.
I don't know if either of you two have read the book Nitro, but they go into detail about this because Russo even mentions it in the promo that he's been gone for 3 weeks at this stage because him and Bischoff have just basically fell out. It's never going to work. And what actually happened was Bischoff's dad passed away, so Russo basically saw his chance to get back in if Bischoff wasn't around, and that's how it all happened. You know, it was a bit of a power play backstage, you know. So guess what? Russo was also playing backstage politics. Who'd have thunk it?
Yeah, I think on Bischoff's pod they actually talk about I think him and Hogan were like on a plane in the sky when this promo was going on. So like I don't even think he knew about it until way later. Or they like were watching it live or something like that.
Because I'm pretty much right in saying the whole bit up to the what after the first match happened, that was all planned and staged. So Hogan genuinely didn't arrive in the building till 2-3 minutes before the match because this is what they were going to do. He's literally going to turn up, pin him with the foot, and leave, which is exactly what happened. And then Russo went into business for himself, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what bro. Our next match, gentlemen, is the rematch from Starrcade 1998. It pits Kevin Nash against Goldberg, and this is for Scott Hall's WCW contract. Before the match starts, however, we get Kevin Nash backstage. He wants Scott Steiner to come with him to ringside, but Scott Steiner's coming somewhere else because he's busy with Medasia. Yeah, so you leave there.
Scott Steiner's coming somewhere else.
Yes. I'm glad you noticed that. Yes, I did say that.
That was very well done.
He's busy. He'll go out to you later, Kev. Don't worry. Then we get the image, Logan, of Goldberg coming out to ringside with let's just say Scott Hall's contract is somewhere it's not meant to be. Let's just go with that. as for the match itself, this felt like, how can I put it? If it was like, it just felt like a Goldberg versus Jerry Flynn match. You know, it was on for 4 minutes. It's like these must be like two of your biggest stars, and you can only give me 4 or 5 minutes.
Yeah, the contract was touching the real jackhammer, but yeah, y'all Jesus pointed out Christ. That he was clearly fucking Medasia in the hallway. I thought he was taking a piss, so I wasn't really sure what was going on right there. But it just looks like he was in a corner with his dick out, so I didn't really know what was going on.
Daddy's dick out.
Let's see. I'm having sex with Medasia, or I'll come out the ring and cover you, Nash. I think I'll stick with Medasia.
He's like, bro, what the fuck are you doing over there? I also pointed out that Goldberg has COVID calves. I think that was kind of a Saturday Night Call joke back when COVID first started. But he has very small calves compared to the rest of him, because he's jacked out of this world on the rest of his body, but his calves are super small. I said the match was very strikey. Goldberg does a pretty impressive a double underhook suplex. I thought that was pretty cool to do on a big guy like Nash. But the only other note I have is. Steiner turns, Goldberg wins. This was very very slow and strike heavy, so I went half star.
We've talked on, I think, a running theme of the show, Sean, has been more Russo bullshit, and this is another example of the swerve that isn't a swerve.
Yeah, so the first note, Haw contract reminds me of Hardy's TNA contract, so it had the exact same wording on it. Remember when Dusty was flaunting that Hardy contract? That's what it reminded me of. So again, did Russo book that as well? Yes.
Sorry to interrupt, Sean. Did anybody else notice the sweat patch on Hall's contract as well?
Yes. Good bit of goop sweat going on.
Yes, that wasn't sweat. That was freaking Steiner had it when he was banging Medasia and he needed to clean up. Anyway, Steiner turns on Nash. I put this happened. No other notes. And the other thing that's funny about this, why are we fighting over a contract for Scott Hall who hasn't been on TV in 5 months? So I put what a waste. I went a quarter star. I don't have much to say about it. It was just kind of there.
Yeah. I went half a star. I think the real reason they were fighting over it is because Scott Hall's contract is basically Kevin Nash's drinking budget. So that's the real reason he was fighting for. After the match, we pretty much go straight to our main event, which is for the WCW heavyweight title. And it is the chosen one, Jeff Jarrett, taking on Booker T. I'm going to go to Sean first because these are two of your favorites.
Together
in the ring.
You're killing me. Like this whole show, like, again, has caused me so much anxiety. It starts slow. We had another fight in the crowd, except the one with Steiner and Awesome I thought was done better. The pile driver on the table was absolutely sick. There was a long sleeper, then a figure four. Booker almost whiffed on an axe kick. Nice spine buster. Oh, look, a ref bump. Oh, a belt shot by Booker. Oh, look, another false pin. And then JJ, at the end, JJ goes for strokes the ref, and then we get a bookend, and we have a new world champion. So this match was just kind of there. The Canyon match was way better. Match was okay, but not great. It was a good moment for Booker. I did go 2.25 because it was okay. I really, 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 and we'll talk about the overall show, hate Russo's handprints all over this show. So I went 2.25, but it's nothing great. I mean, it's not a great match. It's just kind of theirs, but it's 2.25.
I'm kind of where Sean is, Logan. The commentators were basically treating this like it was Flair Steamboat from 89, though. That kind of
Warrior Hogan. It's like Warrior Hogan. It's like, shit.
Calm the fuck down, boys, because yeah, this match was good, but it's not like all time or anything.
Yeah, as I say, they treated it like these two newcomers were the greatest things to ever come out of the wrestling world. So, but my first note is that Jarrett got way too much airtime on this pay-per-view. He's been in like 6 segments. He's been in the backstage segments 2 or 3 times. He's had 1 match already. He's been in this match. So, but I won't ever complain about having 2 Booker T matches. At this point, he's still so quick and just always on fire and is super fast around the ring. Even though he's already competed, he's still kind of acting quick and doing stuff at a really brisk pace. I asked, are we watching TNA Raven with all of these crowd brawls? Because this is like the 3rd or 4th crowd brawl we've had tonight. So at one point, Jarrett does a pile driver on the announce table, and it has absolutely no give. So it's really brutal and nasty looking. I thought it was a pretty good back and forth between the two guys throughout the whole match. They trade best shots back and forth. And then I go on a little bit of a diatribe here. I say, ref bump. Who could have seen that coming? Oh, and Jarrett immediately goes for a weapon to only get nailed by it? Yep, makes sense. Oh, a low blow too? Also makes sense. Then a guitar shot, you say? Blasphemy. And then I say Booker T ends it with the bookend out of nowhere. So I thought it was a pretty good match, but I also went 2.25.
I mean, honestly, like, you know, I mean, I don't know if it's because we've been watching a lot of Jarrett recently, but he really has been doing the same old shit for like 10 years.
Yeah, this is 5 years prior to where we're at on the Impact Pod right now. 5 years. Yeah. Think about that.
This is main event formula is the ref gets bumped. They bring out a bunch of weapons. He gets hit by them. He eventually hits somebody else with them. He kicks out of multiple pins that he shouldn't. And then he, after about 5 other kickouts that shouldn't happen, he finally gets beat or he wins. That's pretty much how it goes. Every Jeff Jarrett match. That's it.
I went 2.5 on the match. I've got 1 last note to make. We've talked about how much Martin Madden really fucking sucks all the way through this show, but it's been quite a common theme going through. And Tony, God love him, he doesn't even try and hide the fact he doesn't like Madden. It's not, you know, like some people, it's, you know, try and make it out like they're friends and they get on. No, there's none of that going on. Because I don't know if you guys caught it like right at the end where Madden says, "Can I quote you from 96, Tony?" No. Like, no. Just shut that down straight away. I know the line he was going to go for. He was going to go for the Hulk Hogan, you can go straight to hell. But it's like, yeah, we don't need that. Let Booker have his moment. We don't need that. Right, that is the end of the pay-per-view, but it's not the end of our show, gentlemen, because we have got some awards to give out. I will go to Sean first. What was your favorite match of the night, Sean?
Booker versus Canyon, definitely.
Logan?
Booker Canyon, for sure.
Clean sweep for that. I will stick with Logan. What was the worst match of the night? We've got a few to pick.
Graveyard. I was very surprised after watching the wedding gown match that it wasn't that. But yeah, the Graveyard match was awful.
Sean?
You know, I almost hesitate to give it to the Graveyard because of the pure entertainment batshit badism of it. But I'm going to have to go with the Graveyard. I mean, it might be an all-time bad worth watching hidden gem.
I'm going to go with the Graveyard as well. We will go to the hidden gems next. Sean, do you want to put the Graveyard match forward as a hidden gem?
Well, can I do 1 good and 1 bad?
You certainly can.
All right, so the Graveyard for the Bat, the tag team title match, I would go out of your way to watch. And honestly, well, I like the tag team title match, but I also think Steiner versus Awesome is really good. But I think the tag team title match would probably be the most surprising. It's hard. There's some good hidden gems in this, but go with the bad one. Go with the Graveyard. Go with that.
Logan, any hidden gems in this that you want to direct our listeners to?
I mean, I would watch the Booker Canyon match, but other than that, I probably wouldn't watch too much else from this show.
Yeah, I might go with Sean and just go with the Graveyard match out of some sort of morbid curiosity.
Yes.
Logan, most surprising match or moment of the night?
I think the wedding gown not being the worst match of the night is the most surprising thing.
Boy, that's rough. That is so rough.
That not being worst match is a legendary move right there. That Vampiro Graveyard match is just all time bad.
Sean?
Yeah, so since I went Graveyard on the one part, I'm gonna go on the tag team title match for the most surprise, and I was really pleasantly surprised by that match.
Yeah, yeah, good. I'll go with that as well. Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah. I'm gonna take Logan's answer of like the Graveyard the evening gown match not being the worst match of the night. Yes, I'm fully on board with that. I'm also gonna go with the tag title match, but I'm gonna pick the finish because that I know I keep going that the powerbomb doomsday is amazing, and why some like power team doesn't bring that back yesterday, I have no idea on because it was absolutely amazing.
It's like one of those sneaky good moves, like the Powerplex that Power and Glory used to do that you love. And then you see this, and you're like, man, I wish they do that more often.
I'm trying to think like of a decent power team who could do it. You know, I know.
I feel like AOP a couple of years ago could have done it.
Yeah.
Or maybe like the Viking Raiders.
I know that, yeah, the Viking Raiders.
AOP would have been great at that. Yeah.
I know they're not your favorite, Sean, but I think the Good Brothers could do it.
Ah, fuck them.
Yeah, fuck that. Don't give them any down.
Okay, I will stick with Sean. The Lenny Lane Award, Sean, for the biggest shit take of the night. And I don't think there's been that many tonight. I think we're
there's really not, but if I have to pick one, it's going to be Logan going, what is it, half a star on Buff versus Shane, because I think that's way too high. It'd be a 3.25 first. If I had to pick one, that's the only one I could think of, to be honest with you.
Logan?
Ben, did you go 1 star on the hardcore match?
Give me a second. Let me get my notes.
I did, Logan.
Okay, well, then I'll go with that, Sean.
I went a dud.
Yeah, I went 1 star on that.
Yeah, I was just saying, I'll give it to Sean for that one. It was bad.
I'm gonna give this one to myself because yet again, Ben and British Internet are just suffering, and the boys are doing a sterling job putting up with me and my continually dropping in and out of coverage. So I'm gonna give it to myself.
Give it to the British Internet.
I'll take the next one. I'll take the next award first before I hand it over to Logan. Fashion statement, Logan. I'm going to share it between Medeja and Tori because oh my.
man.
This one was tough
tonight. Go to Sean first. I'm not sure.
I'm going to go with the wedding gowns from Stacy and from Daphne because I like them both.
Yeah, I got you. Man, there are so many on this.
It wasn't a clear winner tonight. It's not like a clear. Yeah.
Yeah. Once Hancock lost the bottom of her wedding dress, I'll go with that.
Like if only one announcer had been wearing like the wacky Hawaiian shirt, then I could maybe give it to one of them. But because they were all wearing them.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. The very dad looking Hawaiian shirts could win it for sure.
Yeah, like a dad's bachelor party or something. And it's our last award, but it's probably the most important award we're gonna do. Sean, salad or shit?
Oh, it's definitely shit. I mean, even the good stuff on here. I mean, this is 1,000 times shit. Like when I first watched this show, I was really going back and forth in my head. It's like, man, I got 5 like over 2-star matches, but then there's six really bad, multiple dud. I mean, it's shit. I mean, there's no way around it. It's shit.
Logan, have you got any sound based analogy for this finish?
No, I don't have one for this one. but it might be like I don't think it's like fully shit, but it's definitely shit for sure. I think it's just like slightly spoiled. It's been bad for about a week or so, but yeah, it's definitely
bad enough to give you a case of the Rhea.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I was gonna say you'll have diarrhea within 3 hours of eating it. I'll put it that way.
All right, gents, and we've got our league table, of course, where we're gonna put this show. Won't read out the whole list as per, but I'm fairly confident this is going to be a top six show. We've just got to decide where it goes, all right?
The top six, bottom six show.
Our at the top of our list is our worst show. That's how we do it. So
I'm going to need you two to go first because I struggle with
just go through them and we'll say if we think it's... Yeah,
that's all I was going to do is just go through the top six and we can just decide where it's going to fit in. So at number six, we've got last month's show, which was the Great American Bash of 99. Is this worse or better than that?
I think it's better.
I want to say I think it's better.
So that means it will go in. If it's better, that means it will go... All right, so if it's better, the next show, but the show below it is WrestleMania 27. Is it better than that?
It had more two-star matches on it.
Yeah, but one's a WrestleMania and one's not.
Yeah.
One also had multiple duds, and one only had one dud.
I'm gonna have to say no. It's not better than 27.
It's probably right one, there for seven.
And one also had CM Punk versus Randy Orton on it.
Yeah. So no, it is one not had better than 27.
A four-star match. So yeah.
No, it's not.
Okay, so we'll put it at number. So it's in number seven on our list. That's where that will go. Let me just do.
That feels like a tragedy. That's awful. Okay.
So.
That's how bad those bottom six shows are.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. For those who might not be aware, I'm going to read out the top six just so you know people know where we're up to, or bottom six, however you want to look at it. So at number six is Great American Bash 99. Number five is Royal Rumble 2006. Number four, Great American Bash 91. Three, King of the Ring of 95. Two, Survivor Series of 99. And the worst show we have watched in 14 episodes is Full Brawl of 1999.
That's a tough one to beat.
That is going to be a tough one. That is going to be a very tough one to beat, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
So that'll do for us, gentlemen. Thank you very much indeed. Sean, anything that you would like to plug or direct the good ladies and gentlemen to while we're here?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at NWA Crock and Roll, NWA Crock and Roll Podcast. I think by the time this debuts, we should have dropped our next episode. Our episode after this, where we're looking at Houston wrestling. We should be on our second part of that coming up with guest Ben, who absolutely adores old Houston wrestling, much like he likes Johnny Gargano matches. Big fan of this.
Yeah, two out of three, four matches where people just lie around and have looked for 10 minutes. Oh, I'm all over.
Yes, but there are a lot. But anyway, it's a lot of fun to talk crap about it, regardless if it's bad or not. And then you have YouTube Roulette coming up on this. We have Highway to the Impact Zone. I'll let Logan talk about. And the last thing I'll plug. I mean, there's other things, but I'll plug on a North South feed. Susan and I do an Impact Pod over there on the monthly pay per views that they do on the app, and then we'll be doing one on Slammiversary, and we'll have Jake and Logan on there to talk Slammiversary after the show comes out. So we'll look forward to that over on the North South feed. That's all I got.
Okay, Logan, anything you want to direct the listeners to?
Yeah, they can follow me on Highway PTBN. Like Sean said, we got YouTube Roulette coming up, Highway to the Impact Zone. It'll be the fallout from Against All Odds. We're recording this Friday. We got Euro Trip Popcorn Chicken Salad coming up this weekend that we're going to record. From Squared Circle to Silver Screen, we just did Man on the Moon. And I think we're actually doing a double feature of The Condemned and See No Evil. So that should be a rousing episode for sure. And then like Sean said, we got the Slammiversary reaction coming in a couple weeks. So that's about all I got going on right now.
Like Logan says, we are recording the next episode of Popcorn Chicken Salad this weekend. The newest episode, though, I think is dropping this weekend, where the three of us and Matt Souza watched Top Gun, which was an interesting night for us. It caused the first actual argument between us.
Well, between two of us.
But we've kissed.
Logan, goddamn it, thank you.
We have kissed and made up now, though, listeners. Don't worry.
Right. Absolutely.
Thank you so much to Sean and Logan for being here with me tonight. And remember, everybody, in a world where you can be anything you want to be more like Calvin. Thank you so much for listening to Chicken Salad. My name's Ben Benlock, and we will see you next month. His welfare is my concern. No burden is he to bear. We'll get there. It's a long, long road from which there is no return. While we're on the way to there, why not share? We'll be right back.